Coming up on the next BMW Motorrad Ride and Talk podcast, an exciting discussion about the new BMW F900 GS. Take a listen.
When we arrived in Italy and where the start of the Transitalia Marathon was, and some people just passed there and looked very like, is this a BMW?
Yeah.
And I was like a small child, explaining my toys. And it's like, yeah, we didn't expect this.
Easily the best part about hosting this podcast is meeting the people who create and influence the motorcycles we love. Sergio Fassa and Christian Geis are two fantastic examples. Hello, my friends. I'm Sean Thomas. Welcome to our latest episode of the BMW Motorrad Ride and Talk podcast. Sergio, Christian, and their team were tasked with creating the next generation of middleweight adventure motorcycle from BMW, most notably the F900 GS. Recently, my producer, Louise Powers, and I caught up with them in Munich, where we sat down to discuss the development process for this model, the challenges they faced, and a unique test venue for their new motorcycle, the Transitalia Marathon. Please subscribe to Ride and Talk and leave a comment on this and other episodes. We love to hear from you and appreciate your feedback and support. Now let's take a listen to Sergio and Christian as they discuss the new BMW F900 GS. You know, it's really interesting about the F900. We've each had a chance to ride it now. And the first time I rode it was off-road. And the situation was we took a 1300 into an off-road ride, and then we stopped and switched. Mm-hmm. And then on the way back, I rode the 900. And what was so interesting to me is the 1300, when I rode it, it was like, oh, this is a very confident motorcycle. It's very easy. I can take on this road all day. As soon as I got on the 900, and I'm going to tell you, this was a surprise to me. It was instantly easier, and it wanted to do fun things. Mm-hmm. Like, it wanted to go find the narrow trails, and the front end really wanted to float a little. Was that the goal, to make me happy? Because I think
I think this was exactly the point, because when we think about GS inside BMW Motorrad, the first thing that comes up is the Boxer GS.
Yeah.
The 1300, the 1250, and so on and so on. And we, inside our project, we also had that on mind, and we have discussed it a lot. How can we be different from the 1300? And how can we at the same time improve the F models in a different way? Because we had at the past different ideas about the F850, what we want to achieve with this bike. Mm-hmm. And with the 900, we said we need to take another direction. We need to go to another direction, but we need to be different from the Boxer GS. And one important thing is that we developed the bikes parallelly. The 1300 was developed parallelly with the F900.
Yeah.
So we were always taking a look what the guys were doing, and you say, so this we don't want to go in this direction, mm-hmm. because we know that we need to be different.
Yeah.
Maybe we can make some synergies here, synergies there, but here no.
Yeah,
for example.
Sure.
Yeah. And this was the way. But of course, the main idea is to try to get the customer different perceptions when he come into the F in comparison to the R.
Mm. You guys both are pretty avid riders too. And I think that's oftentimes for people a surprise, because I didn't realize that folks that develop these bikes ride as hard as you guys, and you guys ride hard. The pictures I see.
Yeah. I mean, we have colleagues which are much better rider than personally I'm speaking of, but because they are like professional test riders.
Yeah.
And what we got as a feedback is that everyone was also surprised that at the end, the bike, from the idea till the first ride, they were like, huh, wow, that's great. We didn't expect this big mm-hmm. jump from the old 850 to the 900. And not only an on-road, and not only an off-road, also an on-road.
Mm.
So we improved both of this riding situation, on-road and off-road.
There's always an expectation that if I ride a bike that's very off-road capable, the second I get it on the road, it's going to be not as on-road capable. It's almost oftentimes, it's either one or the other. And I was pleasantly surprised riding that bike when I was going on the freeway and riding at 100 kilometers an hour. And the wind protection was really good. Mm-hmm.
This is very important, because it depends where you're coming from. What bikes do you have in your setup to compare? what's your comparison database? Because when you took 1250 GS Adventure with a big windshield with a lot of fairings and, and big tank that can protect you from everything, of course, that when you jump on an i900 GS and you ride in the highway, you say, yeah, okay, my head is vibrating. I can hear a lot. It's not comfortable. But this was not our objective with the F900 GS. Yeah. So the bike, we made lots of compromises in order to reduce these comfort features.
Yeah.
But to gain exactly this feeling that you just described in the beginning, when you said, where are the narrow off-road passages? Because it's there exactly where I want to go with this bike.
It's very common for me if I've ridden bikes, middleweight bikes from certain other manufacturers, they always want to do more than I'm capable of doing. And I can feel it. And I'm going, I don't think I could use this bike to its full capability. And it was very interesting to feel that on a BMW, on the 900. I certainly feel that on BMWs. You know, if you put me on an S1000RR, you know, I'm going to use that thing to 20% of its ability. But the 900, I said, oh, okay, there's some things here that I can now do that I would never try to do on like most of my GS history. You know, like
this is also what I described on the press lounge a lot of times, that you get very fast a friend with the bike.
Yeah.
It's like you get like, you're feeling very comfortable. You're feeling safe in the kind, then you're getting in like maybe driving situations you wouldn't do that with a bike you really don't like.
Yeah.
So, being a friend with the bike, feeling safe and being fast on small trails. And now you have fun at the end. And this is very important. For sure, we want to sell not only bikes, also fun with the bikes. And this is, I mean, you're not going there to ride from A to B just because you have to do. It's like you spend free time sometimes and you want to relax from work, take the bike, go out, have fun. And this is absolutely possible.
You know, I'm imagining the two of you sort of poking your heads over the desk and looking over at the 1300 team and seeing what they're doing. And, you know, when you said, you go, nope, we're not doing that. We're going to, and one of those directions I would say is probably suspension, because it's becoming classic BMW to have electronic suspension, which has so many advantages, but nowhere near the level for off-road riding that the, having the suspension you chose. Can you walk us through the process of making that decision?
Yes.
How can I say it? Like, this is all come from one side. Our department, who is responsible for developing all the suspensions, they want to sell us like the next generation of electric suspension. They say, you need this. This is what you need. And say, no, we want to simplify the bike and have a classic shock and fork and everything that you can adjust, and it works. And if you work on it and adjust it, you really feel it on the next time you ride the bike. This is an important thing. It's not only bling bling and show. If you take time and adjust it on the fork, you really feel it directly. And we stay on this decision to make not adjustable windshields. Yeah. We have two windshields. That's it. We have a very simple chassis and a very simple suspension system, and we really want to separate from the 1300. So this was our goal in general, like for some decisions on the bike.
Yeah, because the 1300, of course, we say that this is you know, the bike which is more important for us in the company, but at the end of the day we need to understand that it's not all the customers which are looking to this bike, you know. And especially outside Germany, because when you talk about boxer engines inside Germany, of course, the 1300 is the only BMW that exists. Yeah. And when you come outside, when you come from outside, in my case, for example, coming from Brazil, the most important, one of the most important countries for the FF models, you see that the customers are learning about boxer engines, are learning that they can really, really ride sporty with a boxer engine. But the whole motorcycle industry came, of course, from the single and parallel cylinder engines.
Yeah.
So the customers are getting in touch with BMW, not with the boxer, but with the at the time from the G650 GS, the model, the single cylinder, and then after with the F models, the parallel twins, and then say, okay, now maybe someday I can go to the boxer. But the parallel twin is the bike which gets the customer inside the company.
Yeah.
And this decision also to say, okay, these we want, we don't want to take over from the R1300. Was really, really right the decision that we made, because we don't need to be the small boxer. We need to have our own customers and say, I want this bike because this bike can take me off road. This bike can take me with more fun or with less complexity where I want to go. Maybe I'm happy with that. And this is maybe more happy than I could be even with a boxer, you know?
It's interesting to have the 1300 GS being the benchmark for adventure motorcycles, period, for every manufacturer. We all look at that bike first. It's fascinating to me that you too, as a product developer for the 900, are looking at the 1300 as the benchmark. Yeah, it's always going to be, how does it compare?
Yeah, this pressure, I think it's much more internally visible than externally, because the segment of the adventure bikes are huge. Yeah. And you are looking to a small, when we're talking about the 1300, we are looking to a part of that, which is above 950 cubic centimeters, let's put it like that. And all above, that is where we have our 1300. And below, the market's huge. It's huge. And we have then also the 300 bike, so the 310 GS, which is also a very nice bike. But the segment for the mid-size segment is transform. This is a big transformation. We started at the 500 for 20 years. Now we are talking about 900 cubic centimeters. Yeah. So the engines inside this segment is becoming even bigger, even more powerful. And this segment is very, very important for us. And this was the right decision, not just thinking about the internal competition, but of course in the external competition.
Yeah. The sound of that bike.
Oh, you like it?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It sounds so good. It roars.
Yeah, it's like, this is not only the exhaust, it's like the whole engine. Sounds great.
Yeah.
And I guess there was a test, brand new test from the Motorrad magazine.
Yeah.
And out of the four competitors, we had the best engine.
Wow.
And this is new for us. Now we made it, like, and it looks great too. The exhaust looks like in combination with the rear frame. Wow.
Yeah. A great part of that comes also from the fact that we are offering as a standard a sport exhaust system. So we have the Akrapovic muffler as a standard. And this was also an internal discussion that we had, because of course we need to try to make the bike as light as possible and also bring to some emotionality for the engine in the, not as a engine that not sounds too good, but we need to try to make it more sexy. It was also a big challenge for us.
This is a fascinating parallel, because we talked about suspension and how your designers, your engineers were coming to you with the latest, greatest suspension. You were saying, no, we have to go back. We want to go to adjustable manual suspension. And at the same time, we're looking at motorcycles coming out where sound is disappearing entirely, where we have electric mobility, where we have no sound. And it's very interesting to hear about you going after that emotional hook, because it is so important when you hit the start button on a motorcycle, an internal combustion, that you hear that.
And you can hear it I can hear it when I'm sitting at home and my window is open and I'm sitting at home office on laptop and there's a F900 just, and they're like, that's a F900. And I'm right. Yeah.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Good guy. You want a coffee?
But this is exactly the point, you know. We are talking about a so high emotional product. Mm-hmm. If you disconnect it with the sound of the engine, you lost, for me personally, 80% of the whole emotionality that we're trying to bring on.
Yeah.
And I grew up in a apartment with, I had a big window to the street that was in front of our apartment building in São Paulo. And this window was always a big traffic, and I was really trying to understand and to identify the motorcycles with the sound. So when a CB750 Honda four cylinders just passed through, CB750, then comes a BMW F800GS, F800GS. So, and then it started to be automatically. And this is a part of our history inside the motorcycle. Yeah. When we just disconnect that with the sound, maybe it's time to go, you know? So, of course, the electromobility will offer us different things.
Sure.
And we need to use them also as a positive.
Huge advantage.
And it's a huge advantage. So you can go to the wherever you want. You don't need to fulfill your tank. You can go wherever you want very quickly, from 0 to 100, quicker than combustion engines. Lots of advantages. But for this kind of product that we develop, I personally cannot see that as a BEV, a kind of battery vehicle.
Mm. So you grew up in Brazil.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you were pretty obsessed with motorcycles from a young age. Is that true?
Yeah.
How did that come to be?
I think that exactly to see when you're talking about time, I think I started before I come to the world. Let's put it like that. Because my father was also a big fascinated to engines and cars and everything like that. So I think that was already my genes, you know, before I started to exist. But my first contact was when I was 5 years with a motorbike, which I could ride together with my uncle.
Mm.
And this transformed everything.
5 years old.
Yeah.
That was the one.
Yeah.
And here you are now building some pretty cool bikes.
Yeah. It was a like of, how can I say, I want to go in this direction. I want to work with that. What should I do in order to be possible to one day do what I do today? So it was nice to be here after those efforts that were made. Try to go to the engineering, start a lot of engineering, because when we start to develop motorcycles, it's like that. So you need to understand what you are doing. You need to understand about the dynamic of the vehicle. You need to understand about the whole thing. Learn about it. Learn how to understand how the machine works and how can we make this even better.
Mm. Yeah.
And of course, in Germany, you cannot work in the development. Yes, you can work in the development without speaking German, but it's very difficult. It's already difficult to go inside and talk to guys because, of course, it's an international company. Yes, BMW is an international company, but we are in Bavaria.
Yeah.
And when you're talking with developers and engineers inside Bavaria, they are so flexible to speak Hauptstände, Feder, Vorspannung or something like that in English.
Yeah.
Because this is one of the things that make me crazy about the German language, because the words are so specifically, or they are so exactly that. So you are not talking about a single boat that you use to connect some parts. You are talking about a boat with they have a specific length, a specific material, a specific way that you can press this boat in the whole machine.
Yeah.
So you are just talking about one boat that cannot be changed for anyone. And this is German exactly. You know, they are very exactly. And this is one thing that is was for me very interesting to learn. This also motivates me to go to BMW, for example, and to apply to work for BMW.
Mm.
And after that, search this idea to come to Germany and of course change and come here to work on the bikes.
Yeah. Good stuff. Now, Christian, you're sitting over there quietly.
Just listening.
Yeah,
to him,
it's all
like,
good.
For me, it wasn't love at the first time.
Yeah.
Motorcycle. It was like I was starting, close to start a training time at the Touring Car German Federation in like a race series as a trainee, technical things.
Yeah.
And 2 weeks before, they called me and say, sorry, no chance. But we have the same thing in the German motorcycle racing division. And my dad was a policeman and he was riding also on the BMW motorcycle. So in my family, we had a lot of motorcycles, but I wasn't very interested. So, but with all my steps at BMW, I really come to the point that it's great. I really like it. I really like it more than cars. I don't have the love from as a small child like you, but it now it's very strong.
Well, it's interesting. I've heard that, you know, traditionally it's Sergio's your job to sort of come up with the parameters that for example, the F900 is, and that it's Christian's job to make that a reality, as difficult as that may be. But I've also heard that you had your own ideas on where this bike needed to go.
Yeah, I was, before I started working for the F850 project, I was in the cooperation project with TVS, which make the G3, G10.
Oh, yeah.
And so I also like, we can see now that we have a new front light.
Yeah.
And this is also coming from an idea that we take over a front light from an existing bike.
Sure.
And also the fuel tank from the street bikes, the plastic fuel tank.
Yes.
We developed this new, and it was like three things which we collected on the bike, like the headlight, the fuel tank,
sure,
and the lighter rear frame,
uh-huh,
with less luggage, like no top case, just
sure,
simplified.
Yeah.
This was the beginning of the idea to change the character of the bike, to make it more accessible for the customers.
Yeah.
Not only weight wise, like losing weight is one thing, but if you look now on the bike, it's like, it looks more friendly. It looks thinner from the front, like an athlete standing in front of it. Mm-hmm. It had a smaller seat bench. And if you, in the past, if you put a 850 and a 900 side by side, you need 1 second longer to start looking at the bike from the left to the right. It developed a lot of, we took a lot of time to find out the right way what we will change on the 850 to make it better.
And we put some real time in on the 850 because we rode it all through New Zealand for the GS Trophy.
We rode it for the GS Trophy in 2020, so 2,400 kilometers.
Yeah. So you had an opportunity to test out the 900 in a unique opportunity, a marathon, mm-hmm, which I'm still trying to wrap my head around, the Transitalia. Mm-hmm. Marathon. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
What the heck is this?
Tattoo, maybe you answer this because I was only there to support the guys with if something is missing or someone needs a bottle of water or whatever.
Special bolts.
It's important to have that person on the team.
Yeah, so I think just to put that on in a clear way, we started the project 2020. March 2020, together with pandemics.
Yeah.
And I just got some information from the colleagues here in the team. Hmm. And we have just collected some ideas, and also where are our customers going to?
Yeah.
Yeah. And this idea and this topic, Transitalia Marathon, just pop up, mm-hmm, and say, everybody likes to go off road, but not so intense or not so, that the guys who are not ready to go to Paris-Dakar and make a real rally, they go to Transitalia Marathon and say, mm-hmm, I was already familiar with these ideas and this information when I was in Brazil, but of course now I am in Europe. I want to go there as well. I want to see this event. 2021, I was not being possible to go, but 2022, I said I want to go and I want to see this event by myself and have my own perception about it, because we are doing a real off-road bike, mm-hmm, and the customers which are popping up in this event, they are really customers which loves BMW, because of course we are in Europe and we are talking about motorcycle industry in Europe. Yeah. BMW is amazing. Then I just rent a bike to go there and to see with my own eyes. And it was really, really astonishing with what I saw, because first of all, we see more or less 400 guys, and not just guys, but have also women and also very young guys where just want to go off-road. Mm-hmm. Because the idea is you are riding supervised, so you're not riding along a way that, mm-hmm, there's nothing. You are riding near to small cities in Italy, so you're riding to city, from city to other, more or less 1,000 kilometers in a whole, 3 days riding. And every time that you go to the city, when you arrive in the city after the ride, you have dinner, you have some wines. When we arrived, there was also shows from the local people, to show a little bit about the history of the city and so on. So it's a really, really nice event, very well organized, with medical support, with navigation systems that they are also very well detailed, so where you need to go here or there. So it was very nice. Of course, one point is I saw several of F800 GSs, but I could not see any F850GS. So let's try to make it possible to bring the 900GS here when we have the start of communication of the bike.
Yeah.
And just this matched, of course, with the perception that I had when we are there just riding in the first event in 2022. But I try, we want to make it a little bit more organized. We want to bring the bikes as a BMW team, not just as myself or Christian or someone.
Yeah.
We would like to make it as a team. And this was the main idea. Bring the bike and present that if you are a BMW customer, now you can have different option or a different proposal.
Yeah.
And try to make it with the 900GS.
Mm.
This was the main idea behind.
So it's 3 days of riding. What kind of terrain do you ride?
So you start, of course, you are riding from city to city. It depends on the way, as on the size of the cities. There are cities that are very small and you just even have just a small paved surface to go to the main square of the city. And after that, it's everything, sand. I would not say sand, but we said gravel. Just gravel. Mm. Then you can ride to the roads and in the gravel. But you also, when you're going from city to other, you are also passing through the mountains because there are also different terrains inside. Mm-hmm. So it can go even from paved roads because you are also connection during these connections to the unpaved roads. You also find out that you need to ride some kilometers on paved surface. But I would say 70% of the whole track is not paved. So it's off-road. Not so extremely hard. You also have two options. You can go for a simple track or a really tough track. You can choose according to your skills.
Yeah.
And then you can, depending on the situation or if it's raining, for example, and the weather is not good, you can also jump to the other or single trail. It's not so complicated.
Yeah.
And it's really nice because there is, you meet so nice people and you meet so nice people, not just in the event, you meet nice people in the street. Yeah. So we just stopped to refuel the bikes and then come our old man say, nice. So motorcycle, speaking Italian, I can understand a little bit because Portuguese and Italian and are not completely different, but you can get some words. And the old man just said, yes, keep doing. I got a little bit from reminds from my country as well when I was doing this ride.
It's got to be really fulfilling for you.
Yeah, we didn't expect this. Or I hoped it. And also like when we arrived in Italy, and where the start of the Transitalia Marathon was, there was a small fair, like in size of a football field. And we put the six bikes there and had a small tent and someone who's getting flyers and everything.
Yeah.
And some people just passed there and looked very like, is this a BMW?
Yeah.
And I was standing just behind the tent and looking at the views of the people because I want to see the reactions. And after 50 minutes, I just stay next to a bike. And first one was kind of like, what is this? And I was like a small child, explaining my toys. And it was great because everyone didn't expect this. And we showed the bike in reality the first time. And it was, what you say, it was a big patch on our back. And it's great. If you got this back from a real customer, that he forgot every pain what he brought or what I brought to him or back or forward. So we called at night, say, no, I can't do this.
Yeah.
You really forget this. And it's the best moment at the end of a project. If the customers, even without riding that bike, they're like super excited.
Yeah.
And I mean, we have the SOC and I guess beginning 7th of September. And I asked some colleagues in the plan at BMW, how many people order the bike without riding it at the dealer? Yeah. About 48 people just immediately buying this bike internally. Only BMW internal.
Wow.
From like in the first 4 weeks of something like this, they've ordered nearly 50 people, which working in BMW, developing here, just buy the bike.
And this was a real good sign because when we started the project, we just start to hear some guys said, I'm waiting for that because I will buy it. And there are some guys that are really, really good riders.
Yeah.
Because I can ride off-road. I can survive on off-road. Let's put like that. I'm not a real crazy off-road freak. But I can ride.
Sure.
And of course I was surprised with the lightweight of the bike when I just jumped on that. during the Transitalia, because it was the first time that I really could ride the bike long time. Yeah, yeah. Because this is one time when you make a test ride in Hechingen, 50 minutes, 30 minutes, and then you are so many things in your head. Mm-hmm. But when I went just riding on Transitalia, say, we made it. Yeah. Yeah. And this is exactly what Christian says. Because when we started to ride, there were several guys and I was looking that I'm not so fast. And I was off the right side of the road and was expecting that the guys were behind me, that they overtook me. Yeah. And they don't want to. They want to keep behind me looking to the bike. And I say, hey guys, I just make it with my hand. So go ahead. I don't want that you keep behind me. I want to ride alone. And the guys just, no,
it sounds so good.
Behind me.
Yeah.
And yeah. And then one on side, I stopped. And then the guy said, yes, I was just looking to the bike. I said, okay, now I understand. So I would like to see the bike. I was trying to make you go over, but he wouldn't like to. Yeah, and then after we stopped, they start to ask a lot about the bike. What's the weight? What's the spring travel? How many it costs? And so on and so on. So I think after the event, we could also sell a little bit more bikes because we were there as a kind of salesperson as well, you know? And it was not the idea, but of course, at the end, it also happened.
Now, this is an unfair question, and I'm sorry. But I have to, because it's the question everybody's asking right now. They're listening to this. Everybody's excited. They're going to go ride the F900 GS. What are you going to make next?
You mean tonight? Or?
Well, it was very, you guys put together as a team. You worked together and made something really, I know there's more people on your team.
Oh, yeah. I really have to say thank you to all of the people which were in this. It was work, but it was also great fun at a few more funny moments than sad moments, I have to say.
Yeah.
Everyone was working behind the scenes like a good watch, which is have a lot of gear working together.
Yeah.
And that was very nice.
Very cool. Well, well done, you guys. You did a fantastic job. And thank you for telling us about this. You're really, really cool.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We very much hope you have enjoyed this episode. We want to hear from you, so please rate, comment, and share your thoughts about this podcast. We have many more episodes on the way, so please subscribe, follow along, and share your requests for future episodes of the BMW Motorrad Ride and Talk podcast.